Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1. The First Step in God Realization, Text 12. Kim pramatasya bahu bi parokshair hayanair iha varam muhurtam viditam katate shayase yata. Kim pramatasya bahu bi parokshair hayanair iha varam muhurtam viditam katate shayase yata. Please repeat.
Kim.
What is?
Pramatasya.
Of the bewildered.
Bahubi.
By many. Parokshayi. Inexperienced. Hayanai. Years. Iha.
In this world.
Varam.
Better.
Muhurtam.
A moment.
Viditam.
Conscious.
Gatate.
One can try for.
Shreyase. In the matter of the supreme interest. Yata. By that. Translation. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Please repeat. What is the value of a prolonged life?
What is the value of a prolonged life?
Which is wasted.
Inexperienced by years in this world.
Better a moment of full consciousness. Because that gives one a start. In searching after his supreme interest. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami instructed Maharaj Parikshit about the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive person. In order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life, Srila Shukadev Goswami asserted that there is no use in living hundreds of years without any knowledge of the problems of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of life is eternal. With full knowledge and bliss, those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world and are engaged in the animal propensities of the eat, drink, and be merry type of life are simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success. And the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy name of the Lord. In the previous verse, we have discussed this point to a certain extent, and we may further be enlightened on the different types of offenses committed unto the feet of the holy name. One should therefore utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to a prolonged life of ignorance. Like the lives of the tree and other living entities who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting spiritual advancement. Translation again. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So the Sanskrit word mentioned in the verse, Shreya, means the supreme interest. There are two types of interest or benefit, Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas means immediate gratification. And Shreyas means ultimate benefit. If we look at children, they are prone to be interested in immediate gratification. If they see something they want, they cry for it. Or if they see something they don't like, they cry to avoid it. But sometimes what is pleasing to our senses in the immediate term is harmful for us in the long term. And what is disagreeable to our senses in the immediate term may be beneficial for us in the long term. And therefore, children require the superior guidance of parents and teachers and other guardians, so that they don't waste their lives with immediate gratification like animals, but they are directed towards activities that will help them in the long run. Most children don't want to go to school. They would rather stay at home and play. But the parents know that if the children just stay at home and play, they will not be equipped to face life. And therefore, they force them to go to school so that they'll be educated, they'll have knowledge how to live in the world, they'll be able to get a good job or have a good profession or be able to develop a good business so that they will not suffer later in life. Now, spiritually, every conditioned soul is born every conditioned soul is born into ignorance, and spiritually, most conditioned souls are like children who just want to enjoy material happiness. Although such happiness is temporary because it is based on the body, and the body is temporary, they may be responsible in a material sense to live frugally and save money and invest the money so that it grows and there's a legacy for one's children and future generations. But that so-called material responsibility is just an extended form of immediate gratification, because it's all ultimately for the sake of the body, for the sake of our conditioned existence in the material world. But the real long-term benefit, or the supreme benefit, is to become free from the bondage of material existence, free from the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease, and go back home, back to Godhead. Today, I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada during lunch, which I usually do, and he was talking about the illusory happiness of having a baby, or having a son. And he was saying that the family members are jubilant. Oh, they had a baby. They had a son. But that jubilation is illusion. Because with birth comes death and disease and old age. And he was saying they're so foolish, they're rejoicing, oh, a son is born into the family. But the moment that child is born, it begins the process of dying.
immediately. As soon as the child is out of the womb, for 1 second, it has begun to die. For 1 second. So Srila Prabhupada was saying, this is foolishness. This material jubilation is foolishness. Because for one who is born, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. Unless, of course, the person is God conscious or Krishna conscious, then no more birth in the material world. So we should utilize our time, especially in the precious human life, to realize our ultimate good, our supreme benefit, which is an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. And that takes time. We have to invest time in that work. It's like a man will invest time in his profession or his business because he's thinking in the long run he'll make more money. And if he makes more money, he'll enjoy more. But that is temporary and illusory. But we who have a little spiritual awakening will think we want to invest our time in Krishna consciousness so that we can enjoy more later. And that enjoy more later doesn't mean 10 or 20 years or 40 years, that means eternally. And chanting, as mentioned especially in the previous verse, that chanting is the doubtless and fearless way for success for all, including those who have no desires, those who are self-satisfied, those who desire liberation. The doubtless and fearless way of success for all is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Now it is true that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once without offense, one can be liberated from material bondage. But to even chant the holy name once without offense is not so easy. So we should chant and chant and chant and chant in the hopes that we will chant that one name perfectly. That will give us liberation. Now, the time we have, which can be utilized for chanting and hearing about the Lord, is our most precious possession. It's our life. It's our life. And Chanaki Pandit says that one moment cannot be bought back for millions of dollars. If you are on the verge of death and you tell the doctor, please prolong my life. I have millions of dollars I will give you. Please prolong my life. But if your time has come, even for millions of dollars, you cannot get even one more minute. And this minute here, April 7th, you looking at your watch? Yes. Give us the exact calculation.
6:37.
Yes. 6:37 on Sunday, April 7th, 2013, cannot be bought back for millions of dollars. Once it's gone, it's gone. But fortunately, you're here using the time to realize the spiritual values of life. But even then, the mind is so tricky, so devilish, it can, in a second, be somewhere else. The body's here, but the mind is somewhere else. So we have to control the mind. But in devotional service, we control the mind by giving it a higher engagement. In one of the same series of lectures, Srila Prabhupada said that if a child is playing and you just say stop, well, the child will just wait for the next opportunity to play again. Just wait until you turn your back and start the same mischief. But if you give the child something better to do, to engage the child, then the child will give up his mischievous activities, at least for some time. So we are like that. We need a better engagement. And that engagement is Krishna consciousness. Just yesterday, His Holiness Ruttaparita Swami said that he wanted to speak with me about three of his disciples, because he was concerned that they didn't have enough engagement. And he said, an idle brain is a devil's workshop. And an idle, he added something, an idle hand is... No. An idle brain or an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And then he said something about an idle hand. Anyway, maybe that was his own addition. But it was very nice. So, yes, the idea is to stay engaged in chanting and hearing. And then it has effect. It's in most cases, it's gradual. And if we spend time on it, it has effect. And the opposite is also true. If we waste time on useless activities, that also has effect. And one effect is that it robs us of our duration of life. A businessman may have an employee who's a thief. Now, that thief may suddenly withdraw $5,000 from the bank and disappear. But you know, okay, he was a thief, and you try to catch him. But another kind of thief is very skillful, very subtle. And he'll steal a little every day. But you don't notice it. It's too small to pay attention to. You know, most people, when they scan the balance sheet or the list of expenses, you know, if it's If it's under a certain amount, they don't pay much attention. But if he steals, you know, some amount every day, it adds up and you never catch him. And at the end of it, he's stolen a fortune. So our time is like that. We may not waste, you know, 3 hours at a stretch. Well, we might, but we might not. But we might waste 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 20 minutes, and it adds up. And before we know it, years of our life have gone in vain, just wasting time in useless pursuits. So better one moment. And this is also an encouragement, as Prabhupada says, it was an encouragement to Maharaj Pariksit, who had 7 days to live. It's an encouragement to anyone who doesn't have long to live. Of course, no one knows how long he or she has, but some people are closer than others. That it doesn't matter if one sincerely and utterly surrenders to the Lord, to the chanting of the holy name, to the subject of Krishna consciousness, that itself is enough. So there's never any cause to despair. We want to avoid missing opportunities, but if we are at that stage where we find we've missed many good opportunities, still it's not too late. Because even in a moment, one can surrender. It's harder because of our conditioning, and therefore we try to cultivate the process of surrender. But it's possible at any moment to surrender to the Lord, to surrender to the holy name. But because we are in the process of cultivation, practice, sadhana bhakti means devotional service and practice, we want to practice chanting without offense. And in the previous verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discussed the 10 offenses cited by Srila Jiva Goswami from the Padma Purana. And in the next verse, in the present verse, he discusses further, as he said, and we can touch on those points which Srila Prabhupada felt were important to mention. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported the statements in the matter of offenses at the feet of the holy name. From Vishnu Yamala Tantra, Srila Jiva Goswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effects of all sins simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. That means we can be liberated from all suffering, because all suffering is just a reaction to sinful activities. Quoting from the Markandeya Purana, Sri Goswamiji says that one should neither blaspheme the devotee of the Lord nor indulge in hearing others
who are engaged in belittling a devotee of the Lord. So this is very important. All the scriptures recommend that we associate with devotees for progressive spiritual advancement. But we should associate with devotees in the proper way. That means we should associate with them to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and to broadcast the message of the Lord for the benefit of all souls. That's how we should use our time. But it may happen because of conditioning that we do not, well, devotees do not always act on the highest platform, and it may also happen that we do not always see devotees in the best way because of our own envy and desire to put ourselves higher by bringing others down, which is very common in the material world, but that might also happen in the association of devotees because of the past conditioning. But one should avoid criticizing devotees. And one should avoid hearing the criticism. Hearing the criticism also counts as an offense. Just like Shukadeva Goswami achieved perfection by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and King Parikshit achieved perfection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also damage our spiritual life both ways, by speaking badly about devotees and by hearing such criticism. So we should be careful. It doesn't mean that we don't discriminate. We can discriminate, but we should not engage in useless talks of any kind, and especially criticism of devotees. Now, it may happen that a devotee needs to be corrected, both for the benefit of the devotee and the benefit of people who might be affected by the devotee's behavior. And there is a procedure for that, at least in ISKCON. Everyone is supposed to have an authority, and if there is a difficulty with a devotee, one can approach the devotee's authority to rectify the situation. And that also should be done, you know, in the proper way, not in a malicious way, but in a constructive way. The conclusion is that one should neither hear nor allow vilification of a devotee of the Lord. As far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name from the names of the demigods, the revealed scriptures disclose, Bhagavad Gita 10:41, that all extraordinarily powerful beings are but parts and parcels of the supreme energetic Lord Krishna. Except for the Lord himself, everyone is subordinate. No one is independent of the Lord. Since no one is more powerful than or equal to the energy of the Supreme Lord, no one's name can be as powerful as that of the Lord. By chanting the Lord's holy name, one can derive all the spiritual energy, all the stipulated energy, synchronized from all sources. Therefore, one should not equalize the supreme holy name of the Lord with any other name. Brahma, Shiva, or any other powerful God can never be equal to the supreme Lord Vishnu. So, this is a misconception, usually based on an impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth, that the impersonal One comes in different forms. It might be Brahma, it might be Vishnu, it might be Shiva, it might be Ganesh, and they are all the same, and chanting any name is the same as any other. Once there was a debate between a sannyasi of the Mayavad school, who was focused on Shiva, and a devotee from the Hare Krishna movement. And the weight of authority was on the side of the devotee of Krishna. So this debate was reported in the Illustrated Weekly of India. It's like a very popular weekly magazine. And the editor tried to present it in such a way that both sides looked foolish. And he had a headline, you know, Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And I could see that actually he was more sinister than that poor Mayavadi, because he was trying to portray the whole thing as like a childish argument. And I wrote Srila Prabhupada, and he agreed with me. And he said, Bharati, that was the name of that sannyasi, said, Bharati's a fool, but Singh, that was the name of the editor, Kushwant Singh, but Singh is a demon. Said it very succinctly. So yes, don't have much time. You see that ticking of the clock is relentless. Anyway, the last one, I suppose it is worth mentioning. I mean, Srila Prabhupada mentioned it. The powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from sinful effects. But one who desires to utilize this transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded person in the world. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord. In other words, it's a fact that if one offenselessly chants the holy name of the Lord, he becomes free from sinful reactions. And we all commit sins in life, and we need to become free. Otherwise, we have to suffer the reaction. And by chanting, we can become free. But if someone tries to be very shrewd and calculates, oh, this is a very good opportunity, I can engage in some sinful activity, and there are four
are five main ones. Taking intoxicants, eating flesh, indulging in illicit sex, sex outside of marriage, gambling, and hoarding of gold. When Kali, the personality of Kali, was captured by King Parikshit for torturing a cow, King Parikshit was ready to kill him. It was considered such a crime to harm a cow. He was ready to kill him. But Kali surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit, and it's the rule, the Kshatriya code, that one must accept a surrendered soul. So King Parikshit accepted him, but he didn't kill him, but he had to take some action to curb his nefarious activities. So he said, "You can stay in those places where that's where these four principles come from. You can stay in those places where there's meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex." But Kali said, "Yeah, that's useless, because there's nowhere in your whole kingdom that there are any of these sinful activities." And then Maharaj Parikshit said, "All right, then you can stay where there's hoarding of gold. Because where there's hoarding of gold, all the other sins will follow." So that's... And Srila Prabhupada actually followed that principle. It's very interesting. There was a person who came to the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and he was caught stealing. And the devotees were ready to turn him over to the police. And the man asked to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he came before Srila Prabhupada and he surrendered. And following this principle, Srila Prabhupada accepted him. He said, "All right, we will not turn you over to the police. You've surrendered. So now you stay in the ashram, you attend Mangalarti, you do all the things that the devotees do. We accept you as a surrendered soul." So for some time, he was living with the devotees and following the process of Krishna consciousness. And then one day he sort of slipped away. It's not clear whether... he slipped away. And then the devotees informed Srila Prabhupada that he absconded. And Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, he surrendered, we gave him a chance, but he's no longer a surrendered soul. Turn him over to the police." So the idea is that if one commits some sinful activity and surrenders to the Lord, and chants the holy name, one will be excused. But if one in a calculating way thinks, "Oh, this is a good arrangement, I'll engage in nonsense, and then I'll just surrender, chant the holy name, and then I'll go and do some more nonsense, and then I'll chant the holy name," and that is not excused. That is not excuse. In fact, that mentality makes the reaction worse. So if we've done something in the past, all right, we surrender to Krishna, we take to the process of chanting the holy names, but then we should not do it again. Now, it may happen that someone by accident, by past habit or conditioning, does something that he shouldn't do by accident, not in a cunning, calculating way. Then, if he continues the process of devotional service, chanting the holy name, he can be forgiven. That's not considered very seriously. And again, one should not criticize a devotee for an accidental fall down if he remains properly situated in devotional service. So, there's so much to discuss. This is like the tip of the iceberg. And the clock is ticking. It's getting time for aarti and then prasad. But you can see why we need to use every possible moment, because there's so much to discuss, there's so much to learn, to understand, to practice. And so we are at your service here. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And yeah, take advantage of this opportunity to chant and hear about Krishna and to help ourselves prepare for the time of death by remembering Krishna and to help others remember Krishna. And that will be our real self-interest. And that benefit will be eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Actually, I can't resist adding one other little story. It was actually, I think, my last or second to last full day in Vrindavan, when I was there last time for almost 4 months. And I was taken to a very special place. It was the place where one of Srila Prabhupada's devotees named Ram Das had been the head pujari in Los Angeles. And he was a very good head pujari. But he got cancer, and eventually he moved to Vrindavan. And he was a very mystical person, or at least at the end he became very mystical, and he was in touch with many of the departed saints in our tradition. And so that place where he used to chant was preserved by his wife, like his bhajan kutir, but she had made memorials, like shrines, all over the courtyard where he had these audiences with these different great personalities. It was like a real sacred space and a very profound experience to visit there. And it's interesting, she said that when he was the head pujari in Los Angeles, his motto was to take care of the pujaris. That was his focus, to take care of the pujaris. Because he had faith that if he took care of the pujaris would take care of the deities. So anyway, he had many, many mystical experiences. And then, when he finally left his body, he appeared to different people. And one of them was his wife. And he basically said the same thing to all of them. And basically what he said was that when we engage in devotional service, there are difficulties. No doubt, there are problems. But he said, don't worry about the difficulties. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. And he said, because in the end, you'll get the result. And then he said, referring to his present situation, he said, it is really good. He said, I cannot even begin to describe to you how nice it is. All I can say is that whatever the difficulties are, keep going in Krishna consciousness, because in the end, when you get the result, it's well worth it, because it's really good. And whatever you had to go through to get here is insignificant. So keep going.